And I want to preach to you today a message entitled, God is Pro-Choice. God is Pro-Choice. Could be a controversial title, I understand, because we're not saying that God is pro-doing wrong ever. And the liberal crowd and the pro-abortion people like to say that pro-choice means that you can choose to terminate another person's life. We understand that God included that in the Ten Commandments. Amen. Thou shalt not kill. And he's pro making the right choice. And he's pro giving you a free will to make the right choice. And so thank the Lord for that. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 15, the Bible says, "See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away, and worship other gods, and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." And let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, dear God, that you give us a choice. That we're not forced, but we're just merely coerced to do right. We thank you for your spirit, which encourages us. We thank you for preachers that you put into our life, churches that stand for right and stand for truth. We thank you, dear God, that you've given us the opportunity to show others how to do right. And God, help us to understand a little clearer today the awesome responsibility we have. Bless this time. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. To make a choice is to make a conscious decision. Amen. It's not something that'll happen by accident. We don't believe in coincidences in life. We don't believe in letting anything happen by chance. We understand that our God is a pro-choice God. Life is all about choices, and we make them every day. God gives us a will, and he has a will. He doesn't impose his will on us, but he wants us to choose to do his will. Amen? The older we get, the more important we understand how true that is. The older we get, the more important our decisions become. The more people they affect, the more circumstances are brought about as a result of our choices, in a good way or in a bad way. Somebody said, you know you're getting older when you bend over to pick something up and wonder if there's anything else you can get while you're down there. Choices. You know you're getting older when your knees buckle but your belt won't. You know you're getting older when your back goes out more than you do. Amen. And so the older we get, the more we realize that we've got some very important decisions to make every single day. And God wants us to make the right ones. There's some people in the Bible that have made good choices and made bad choices, very bad choices. In fact, we're in the condition and the circumstances we're in based upon the first couple that God put in the Garden of Eden and their poor choices. Eve chose to yield to the deception of Satan. And Adam chose to disobey God. They weren't forced to do it. Maybe they were coerced or they were tempted to do it. But at the end of the day, they still had the final choice to deliberately disobey God or deliberately go against their husband's teaching and advice. Lot chose the well-watered plains of Sodom in Genesis chapter 13. Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than the pleasures of sin for a season. Joshua chose to serve the Lord. He said in Joshua 24:15, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve." And that's really the charge today. Amen? Is maybe you've already made the choice, well then let's reaffirm the choice. Or maybe you're on the fence about whether or not I should wholeheartedly serve the Lord. I mean, after all, I've got several things going on myself. Well, choose you this day whom you'll serve. Joshua chose to serve the Lord. Samson chose to give up the mighty power of God over selfish desire. The rich man in Luke chapter 16 chose a life without God. Rehoboam, Solomon's son, chose the counsel of friends over the counsel of the elder men. Daniel chose to pray in spite of the lion's den. The three Hebrew children chose the furnace over bowing to a false god. David chose to stay home. Think of the consequences there. Elijah called for the people to choose a God who can answer by fire. Esther chose to risk her life for the sake of her people, saying, "If I perish, I perish." Job chose to honor God. And the Bible says about him, "In all this, Job sinned not." Joseph chose to believe God and Mary to be his wife. Took her, didn't he? He didn't have the hindsight and the 2020 vision that you and I have. Sorry, the 2017 vision that you and I have. He was somewhat in the dark. "But Lord, I believe you. I choose to trust you." Judas chose to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. This is a sad one. King Agrippa chose not to be saved.
Yeah.
"Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Well, King Agrippa, you have the same choice that we have today. Life, death, good, evil, blessing, cursing. God says, "You choose. I call heaven and earth to record against you, though. So you better choose right. I'm pro-choice. I'll give you a choice, but understand that every action you make has an equal and opposite reaction." Amen? That's one of Newton's laws of motion. And it's similar in the choices we make. Every choice we make has a consequence. And if people are in the mess they're in today, it's because of the choices that they've made. And tomorrow they'll remain in the mess they're in if they continue to make those wrong choices. Or they'll get out of the mess that they're in tomorrow based on the right choices that they make today. So Deuteronomy chapter 30, God places before us a decision. Life or death, good or evil, blessings or cursing. And it's based on the decisions that we make. So I say to you today, number one, choose to do right. Just choose to do right. This covers all 12 points. Choose to do right. Right is always right and wrong is always wrong. Christian, choose to do right. Don't give in to the world, the flesh, or the devil. You say, "How do we know what to do right, Brother James?" Well, I'm glad you asked. Amen? That leads to number two. Choose to live by the Bible. Choose to live by the Bible. Joshua 1:8, "This book, the law, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written of it. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. What are we going to do as Christians? Well, we're just going to choose to live by the Bible. We're going to choose to have the Word of God in our hearts, in our minds all day long. We're going to meditate therein. And the result of that, God said, I will cause you to prosper. I will cause you to have good success.
Amen.
That's where we need to be as Christians. Amen?
Amen.
Our maturity level is measured by the choices we make. You can look at somebody's decisions and you can judge how mature they are. So how much do we need the Word of God to influence our choices? Amen? The all-knowing, all-seeing, all-encompassing God indwelling in us. Lord, teach us Thy Word that we may observe to do all that's written there. Number three, choose to pray about everything. Choose to pray about everything. If our choices have such great consequences to the choices we make, then we probably better pray about everything that we do. Amen? I love how your friend did that. That's a perfect illustration. That's the way every one of us should be. That's really what the Lord is saying in Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In everything, pray. Pray. Ask God about it. I love how our kids just choose to obey. And then they keep us accountable. Looking at us sometimes as if, isn't this an easy one? Let's just trust God, amen? Well, you got more faith than I do sometimes, little one. Let's choose to pray about everything. Number four, choose to be in church. It's a choice, amen? Choose to be in church. Our decisions should be based on principle. Our decisions and our choices we make should be based on God's Word. Our decisions we make should be based on procedures. We should already have the major decisions outlined and ironed out in our life. We shouldn't be run by emotions, by feelings. We shouldn't wake up in the morning and decide, what are we going to do today? Are we going to choose life or death or good or evil or blessings or cursing? No. The major things like going to church should already be ironed out. Hebrews 10:25. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to go to church. Even if I have to crawl in. Because I'm the pastor. Somebody said to me the other day, brother, you shouldn't be here. And I said, God, well, we'll be fine without you. Thanks, brother. Amen. Number five, choose to dress right. The word, I think, is appropriate. Boy, what a problem this nation is struggling with. Amen? We were over in England and we watched William and Kate's wedding. It's amazing how they knew just what to wear. I was watching a hockey game the other night. In fact, I went to the Penguins-Dallas Stars game. First Penguins game ever been to, and they lost. Sidney Crosby didn't score. But they knew just what to wear. They didn't show up in football gear. They show up in their hockey gear. But they made that choice. It was funny. Well, there's a store called Asda in England. And it's like the Walmart over there. You go there to get your groceries and some clothes and things like that. And the funniest thing occurs when you get there. It's like, appropriate attire is just discarded. And you walk down the aisles and you stare at these women that have their makeup all done, just nice, beautiful. But they're in their pajamas and they're wearing curlers in their hair. Then you're just like, is there any pride left? I mean, that's I guess you're getting ready for tonight. You want to keep your hair and tight curls until you go out, but we can still see you now. You are out. What you wear at home is between you and God, but what you wear out in public in front of everybody else, well, that's their problem too. In fact, I was in Walmart the other day. There was a lady wearing her pajamas. God wants us to dress modestly, and He wants us to identify with the gender we are.
Amen.
He doesn't want me to wear a dress. He doesn't want us to have transgender bathrooms. Amen.
Amen.
He wants us to be grateful and thankful for the way He made us, and proudly dress to that gender and be appropriate about it.
Right.
Number six, choose to control your tongue. It's a choice. Boy, it can rattle off sometimes. We can start gossiping. We can start backbiting. We can start tattling. We can start cussing. But at the end of the day, it's a choice to control our tongue. Number seven, choose to refrain from anger. You know what anger is? It's a sign that you're discontent. I don't like this situation. I don't like the way they treated me or what's going on. Well, brother, why don't you look for the providence of God? Amen? You and I believe that there is no such thing as coincidences. The circumstance we're dealing with is either a result of the choices we've made or the result of the choices somebody else has made. And God has allowed it to be in our life for some reason. So by us getting angry, we're just saying, God, I'm discontent with your providence and the situation that you put me in. Choose not to be angry. And just try to wisely and in a God-like Christian manner work through the situation. Number eight. Choose to be faithful. Choose to be faithful to your Bible reading. It can get away from you. Brother Herb, who's moving to Oklahoma, blesses my heart time and time again. He's one of the few people that have come up to me and handed me back the book that I gave out at the grand opening. The book entitled Done. Jesus Paid It All. And it's just an explanation of the gospel story. He said, I read that, brother, and that was good. He handed me back the book that said, that Valentine's book we handed out. Yeah. That was good. How you doing on your Bible reading, brother? I'm done with March, he told me on Thursday.
Amen.
He said, I don't get to read it every day because I have to do things like this, but when I have extra time, I do a bit extra. I'm following that plan you gave me, Pastor. Well, that's a good choice. Amen? Because I don't make decisions lightly. I understand I'm going to have to stand before God for what I say and what I do in this church. And so for somebody to say, you know what, I'm going to put myself under that umbrella of authority and just let God sort it out if it's wrong. But that just puts more onus on me to make sure it's right. Choose to be faithful to your Bible reading. Choose to be faithful to your prayer time. Take that prayer list home on Wednesday night and keep it before you all week long and beg God for answers to prayer on this. God's answered the prayer with a portable building. Amen?
Amen.
Boy, they started singing this morning and the heavens opened up, didn't they? And God was happy with that song.
Yes.
Now we just need to pray for Him to drop the ground. We can pray about anything.
That's right.
And it's a choice. God wants us to choose to pray. He wants us to choose to read our Bible. He wants us to choose to be faithful in witnessing. I got something in my throat this morning. I'm not sure what it is. I've got a tea. Every Englishman has a tea nearby. But it's so easy to keep one of these in your pocket. You buy something, you've got to hand cash to somebody anyway. When they hand you the change, say thank you. Just like to invite you to church. Just like, read the back of that if you have a second. It tells you how to get to heaven. There's that Indian man at the toll booth leaving the airport yesterday. I tried to hand him one. Tells you how to get to heaven. I'm fine. I hope you got it figured out. That's quite a choice. Really? Heaven? You don't want to go? You don't want to entertain that thought? Choose you this day whether or not you go to heaven. Amen? Choose to be faithful in that. Number 9, choose to trust God. It's amazing the consequences our choices result in. How old were you when your family moved up from Florida to Indiana?
22.
A woman. Living at home, but working a job, driving her own car. Yeah, had her own ministry, worked in the prisons with the ladies. Could have said, I think I want to stay in Florida where I grew up. Her dad was coming up to Indiana to go to Bible college, felt the Lord calling him to get into the pastorate. She decided to leave it all, sell her car, follow her family up to Indiana. My second week of Bible college, or was it the first week? I think she saw me before I saw hers. But the result of everything, it was funny. What did Elijah or Stephen say the other day? We would have different color skin if you didn't meet daddy and get married.
I don't know why
they said that either. But they're starting to connect that our choices, our decisions that we make have such far-reaching consequences that we really do need to pray about everything, don't we? We need to be faithful. We need to, number 10, choose the right influences. What am I going to allow to influence my decision maker? Well, let's see. What are you going to watch on TV? What books are you going to read? Who are you going to hang around? Because that'll determine the type of person you're going to become, and that'll determine the type of choices that you're making. Me and Lyle were like this when I first got saved. He was the only other person in the church besides the pastor that just loved God and wanted to tell everybody about Him. We were inseparable. And he went down to Bible college a year before me so I could finish my electrical degree before I went. His dad passed away halfway through Bible college. So he came back for the funeral, decided to miss a semester, and started hanging around with the wrong people. Dropped out of church 3-4 weeks after that. I went down to Bible college. I was working security over Christmas, and they had me answering the phones. Everybody that called the college, I was, you know, good afternoon, and transferring their calls. And Lyle called. James, is that you? He said, yeah, they got me answering the phone, brother. How are you doing? You could tell he was just reaching out. The other line starts flashing. But Lyle, I gotta let you go. But call back, I wanna talk to you. Haven't been able to get a hold of him. Chose the wrong influences. Trying to reach out, trying to get back what he had. Never be the same. Number 11, choose to stand for Christ. Choose to stand for Christ. Our verse this week, Joshua 24:15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. I mean, let's make a decision here. Understand, to not make a decision is to make a decision. Choose who you will serve then. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's our choice. Andrea went to a tithe barn when we were over in England, just shortly after we got there, we were renting a scout hut. And the Anglican and the Catholics that were running it on the committee, they decided not to rent it to us more than 2 hours a week on a Sunday morning. They wouldn't give it to us Sunday night. They wouldn't give it to us Wednesday night. They were trying to push us out a Sunday morning even. So we were starting to look around, and she went to a little kids' toddler group on Tuesday. And she'd bring cookies, and, you know, she'd try to just befriend the folks and let the kids play and meet other kids, meet other moms. And so she was telling me what it looks like in there. And I thought, what a great place to start a church. It's called the Tithe Barn. You know, it's where the farmers would bring 10% of their crop. That's why it's called the Tithe Barn. And then they had these big arches in the side of the building where the wind would blow through. And as they beat the wheat, the chaff would just blow off. And they'd have the grain left over there. And they'd use that 10% to either sell or use, you know, for the pastor. The Anglican Church owned it. It's a great meeting hall. They rented for their toddler group. They don't have anything going on Sunday. You should contact this person. I got the number and I called the lady. And she said, but we're Anglican. You're Baptist. I said, that's okay. Ma'am, we just use the King James Bible and we're just trying to tell people how to get saved. But that'd be a conflict of interest. You're Baptist. I thought, wow, you're standing for the Anglicans more than you're standing for Christ. You really made a stand there, haven't you? You'll stand before God someday for that decision too. I was just shocked. Would not rent it to us. Extra income. We'll be faithful to pay them. Amazing. Number 12. Choose to go to heaven. I love what Jesus said. Wilt thou be made whole? What are you going to do? What are you going to say? Pilate. What would you have me do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? Give us Barabbas. What a choice. Far-reaching consequences there. God is pro-choice. He's given you a will. He's given me a will. He's got a will for our lives. Let's discover it. Amen? Grab your hymn book if you would. Turn to page 470. I want to end with this hymn this morning if I could. Then we'll have a time of invitation, a time of prayer. I don't know what you're going through, but I know we're all going through something. And I know you have to make decisions just like I have to make decisions. But at the end of the day, we have one common glue that binds us together as a church. And that's deciding to follow Jesus. Would you sing it with me on that first verse? I have decided to follow Jesus.